everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
He is the man, and he is here. We're Mike and Mike on ESPN Radio, live on your TV on ESPN2. And here with his Subway Fresh Take is the man and the star of, I was just telling him, it's my favorite commercial on TV, is the commercial Colin Kaepernick does for Beats. And you know, we've seen the one that Sherman does, and we've seen the one that KG does, and they're all good. But there's just something about the one that you're in. Welcome, first of all. But just the way they shot it and the look on your face, I just think it's a terrific commercial.
I had a great time doing it. I just felt like that commercial really fit me and my personality. So when I saw it for the first time, I thought it was great.
It's a cool song, too. I heard it in the commercial, and then my wife is the one who actually got it to hear the whole song. It's really, really a neat song. I'd never heard it before I heard the commercials.
I hadn't either. So once I heard the commercial, I heard the song on the commercial, I thought it was great. I had to go download it.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Colin Kaepernick is here. Here's what I find fascinating about you. For basically as long as sports has been covered and players have been critiqued, we have heard guys say, I don't read it. I don't read it. I don't listen to what you guys say. I don't read it. You are the opposite. You put it out there. You put it out there on your Twitter page. You put it out there as a chip on your shoulder. Let's go back to when you first decided you were going to do that. Why? Why that approach?
It's just something for me that mentally it kind of helps motivate me. When I go into a workout or I go into practice and I have in the back of my mind that people are doubting me or they're saying I can't do this or I can't do that, to me that helps me. It really makes me stronger as far as what I'm going to be doing.
And to that, you know, you weren't the first round pick, that top pick. Is that also a chip on your shoulder that says these guys get the press, these guys get the early glory, kind of handed some things? I didn't. Is there kind of a chip on your shoulder with that?
Definitely. I feel like being the sixth quarterback drafted in my draft class, that I feel like there was people that I should have been drafted ahead of. And every time I step on the field, I step on the field to try to prove that I should have been drafted before those people.
Did you get aggravated as the draft is going on when that's going on?
Yeah, it was tough. It was something. I was sitting there with my family, and I think they know how much it means to me to play football and how much work I put into it, and to see other people go before me that I felt like I could perform better than. What was tough, not only on me, but on my family as well.
I'm with you. When 42 defensive tackles went before me in my draft, when I went in the 10th round, I was, yeah.
Golic was taken in a round of the draft that no longer exists, yeah. to give you some indication. So that, obviously, you know, you get the last laugh as you wind up in a really good team, in a really good situation, you get your chance to play, and now here it goes. Tell us about Jim Harbaugh. I find him a fascinating character. I covered him when he was a player in Chicago. He seems to have changed substantially since then. Obviously a great teacher when it comes to quarterbacks. Just what's it like playing for Jim Harbaugh?
It's great. I think the best word to describe him is a maniac. He's he's a maniac in a good way. He's very focused on the details. He's going to make sure we're doing everything and anything we can to win. And he's going to push you out of your comfort zone. He's going to make sure that you're not just cruising through things, to make sure that he's getting the best out of you in all aspects of your game.
And describe the game. Last year, when that read option was going between you and Cam, and Russell was running some, and certainly RG3, guys were saying this is taking over the NFL. There were some of us that said, you know, whoa, easy, it's going to be part of it. And then at the beginning of this year, I remember we had Clay Matthews on before you guys first came.
You're welcome.
out of bounds on that one. But it didn't seem like it was used as much. What was talked about as far, from your game planning offensively and the read option early in the season?
I think part of it was defenses did have time to plan for it and scheme for it. So that's going to make it a little tougher on offenses, but also the fact of you have to keep your quarterback healthy was a part of it. With RG3 going down the end of the first year, I think a lot of coaches, a lot of offense coordinators were a little hesitant as far as how much do we really want to run this and put our quarterback in harm's way. So our offense coordinator even talked to me about it as far as we're going to pick and choose when we want to do it, but we don't want that to be a consistent basis for our offense, because we don't want you taking those hits from linebackers and safeties.
Yeah, you had to know that. I mean, what Clay Matthews said wasn't bad. It was true. I mean, to hit you. I'm going to hit you whether you have the ball or not. If I can get a shot on you, I'm going to get a shot on you, right? There's nothing wrong with that.
Oh, of course. That's same mentality our defense players have. As a quarterback, you know that. If a player has an opportunity that's even close to take a shot on you, they're going to take it. And to me, that's something you have to be aware of as a quarterback. How much can I push that limit without taking those big hits?
Mike, Colin Kaepernick is here with his Subway Fresh Take. Any regular footlong is still a $5 footlong at Subway, but not for long, so get yours today. You're a Wisconsin kid. They made a big deal when you were playing Green Bay in the playoffs. They were showing pictures, I'm sure you saw them, of you when you were growing up in Wisconsin and Aaron Rodgers when he was growing up in San Francisco. Here on this. And then he goes out there wearing sleeves, and you do not, when it's negative 30 or whatever it was that day. Mm-hmm. And the second you walked out on the field, I said, they're going to win this game. If Colin Kaepernick is not wearing sleeves, they're going to win this game.
That's what decided it? For you?
Well, I mean, because you've told me many times, it's not about that. It's about the mindset. Yeah. It's about walking out there and saying, I'm not allowing this cold to enter my head. And I have to believe that was your thinking with it as well.
Yeah, it was something where I played 5 years in college in the cold. We didn't have heaters. We didn't have jackets, beanies, any of that. And it was just kind of taught to us that mentally you're going to play in it and you're going to play well. And the cold doesn't matter. So stepping out on the field, that was my mindset. I'm not going to let the cold dictate to me what I'm going to do on this field. And it was a little bit of mental warfare at the same time.
Mike and Mike, Colin Kaepernick is here. Obviously, everyone who watches you play, the arrow is pointed so far straight up. And then you have the difficult fourth quarter that you had in the NFC Championship game, obviously. You're a young player, and you're supposed to learn in those situations. That's how young players become great players. What did you learn from that fourth quarter of the NFC Championship game?
To me, it wasn't something that I feel like the mistakes were something that's going to haunt me. To me, I'm going to play to win. I'm going to play to try to make those plays. And if you gave me that last pass 10 times, I'm going to take it 10 times over again. Now, do I wish I would have thrown a little bit better ball? If it's a foot farther, we're playing this week and not Seattle. And to me, that's not a bad decision by me. It's something that physically, okay, I have to get better at this. I have to make a better throw next time we're in that position.
So the call, was it strictly there? Was there anywhere else you could go? Kind of take us in the huddle on that play. Was that where you were looking? You obviously see the matchup before the play. You know what's going on. Is that where you're going no matter what?
Well, we had our front side called. We tagged something different backside because we thought we could take a shot, and we got the one-on-one matchup, and I'll take Crabtree on Sherman every day of the week.
Right. Yeah. And then obviously all that came of that. What was your take on everything? I mean, everyone knows what we're talking about with the whole Richard Sherman, Michael Crabtree thing. What was your take on that whole thing?
To me, it was ridiculous, but if that's what you need to do to make yourself feel like a better player, you have to tell everyone, I'm the best corner in the league. Go ahead and tell them. Crabtree will step on the field every time and go out there, and he's going to go for 100 half the time. To me, people forget that he went for 100 on Sherman the year before. And if that's something you need to do, go right ahead. We're going to come out and play football against you next year.
Yeah, you know, he got that play, Sherman did, but I don't think anybody would agree with the fact that that Crabtree was a mediocre receiver.
No, certainly not.
Obviously an excellent
receiver. Rivalry seems so bitter. Is that, I mean, there are a lot of rivalries in the NFL, but it feels like that one has really emerged, yourselves and the Seahawks, as the number one rivalry. Can you just describe how different a game with them is from playing anybody else?
It's a great rivalry for the NFL. It's going to be a tough game. I think both teams know that going in. And I do have a lot of friends on the Seahawks still. That when we finish the game, we're going to say, good job. I wish them luck in the Super Bowl this week. But at the same time, when we step on that field, we know it's business.
Who do you give the edge to in this game? Played against that defense, you certainly know what Manning can do on an offense. Where's the edge, you think?
Seattle does have a great defense. I think if Denver can get them in their nickel defense and with the receivers they have, I think I'll give them the edge on that.
Do you want Seattle to win even though they're in your division? At least you can say then we lost to the Super Bowl champ, or do you not want them to win?
Not a chance.
And, you know, Tom Brady, who lost it in the semifinals as you did, said he had no interest in watching the Super Bowl. Now, you played in this game a year ago. Are you interested? Were you planning to sit down and watch for 3.5 hours on Sunday?
No, I'm not going to watch the game. That's too close to home for me.
That's what I thought. Mike, to this day, never goes to the game because he never got to play in it.
I don't want to go. And one quick, and guys usually answer this by saying, oh, it's not that big of a deal, but it's going to be. So just give us the truthful answer. You're going to get paid a lot of money soon. A real lot of money. So, isn't it, I mean, do you think about that? I'll say that, or some part of it's going to be really, really cool.
Yeah, it's something that you're hoping you get to that status where they're going to pay you. But for me, more importantly, is stepping on that field and having my teammates trust and confidence that I'm going to go out and make plays and help us win games.